This is Sophia Kaelin for the Hudson Mohawk Magazine, and I am talking with Connor Bambrick, the Air and Energy Director for Environmental Advocates of New York. Hi, how are you doing today, Connor?
I'm well, Sophia. Thanks for having me.
Of course. So I am doing an interview about the new electric vehicle toolkit that was just rolled out recently. Can you give me a bit of a background on that and how it works?
Sure. So this is a project from a coalition known as Electrify NY, and this is a statewide coalition of advocates for environmental justice, public transportation, social justice, and good jobs that are fighting for a clean, equitable electric transportation future for New York. And then the overarching goals of this coalition is to transition all public transit fleets statewide to electric by the year 2040, to put in place state policies and to guarantee state resources to help transition municipal government and public transit fleets to electric, and to work with municipalities across the state to sort of lead the way towards New York moving to basically a fully electric transportation sector by the year 2040.
That's really admirable in general. It's really cool.
It's also the law. Back in July, the governor signed what's known as the Climate Leadership and Community Protection Act. And what this law does is essentially establishes aggressive and legally binding emissions reductions targets that are going to completely transition New York's economy off of fossil fuels. So that's going to require basically a renewable electricity grid, 100% renewable electricity mm-hmm. grid that's then going to be used to power our transportation systems across the state.
Wow.
We figured what better way to get started on this, because it's not just going to be governments, it's going to be, you know, everybody here in New York State is going to have to participate here.
So like all the private companies and everything too, right?
Private companies, you know, we have over 11 million vehicles registered here in New York State, and only about 50,000 of them are battery electric vehicles mm-hmm. at this point. So over the next 30 years, we're going to have to find ways to, one, get some of these vehicles off the road, to sort of move away from single occupancy personal vehicles to a more public transit oriented
yeah.
system. But then, on the other hand, those vehicles that do remain, you know, that 11 million, we're going to need to transition those. They're going to have to be electric over the next 30 years. And we thought, you know, the thinking here is that municipalities or, you know, local governments across the state are ideally positioned to begin this process by first committing to transition their own vehicle fleets to become fully electric, but also putting the infrastructure in place in their communities that's going to make it easier and more seamless for their residents to make that
transition.
Yeah,
that's true.
The technology's here.
Yep.
it's just, you know, the willingness to make that transition. You know, we've had an economy powered by fossil fuels for decades upon decades. And,
yeah.
And now we need to move to a clean energy economy. And
what you were saying about
really help get us there.
What you were saying about changing the infrastructure and all that, I know so it's like you see gas stations on every corner or whatever, and now you just want, like, mm-hmm. electric car chargers on every corner and just kind of spreading those around, right?
Kind of. I mean, certainly you're right on the gas station piece. You know, that's going to be a big thing. In 30 years, they're not going to exist anymore under this law. We're not going to have gas stations. But we are going to have a need for public access to charging, and it's going to come in several different ways. You know, for single-family households, it's very likely that you're simply going to be charging at home, and
yeah.
you know, the vehicles that are starting to come off the production line now, you know, the battery technology has improved so much that we're looking at 300 to 400 mile range per fully charged battery.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you're talking about getting around town, or you know, your daily commute, unless you're looking at a 300 to 400 mile daily commute, you're likely going to be able to charge at home if you have a single yeah. family household.
And usually you can charge the car overnight, right? Fills up.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So the challenge that we want municipalities to take on is, you know, getting in place public infrastructure and incentivizing public infrastructure for those that don't have the ability to charge at home. Think of people that live in apartment buildings mm-hmm. or multifamily units, places where they don't own the buildings and can't make the investment in a charging
yeah.
system. You know, there are a number of places like this, or if you look at, you know, households that can't necessarily afford a vehicle.
Yeah.
You know, how do they take advantage and access clean electric vehicles? And this is what the municipal toolkit was really aimed at getting at, is we looked around the country at various municipalities to see which ones are putting in place innovative policies and programs to help build this infrastructure build out, to help identify ways to build out public transit and to help solve what are known as those first and last mile solutions. So this is getting a person from their home or their workplace to that public transit access point
mm-hmm.
So they can then take advantage of the system. And then finally, you know, the addressing the issue of the municipal fleets on their own. You know, how do they go about doing that? You can't just snap a finger and, you know, immediately replace your whole vehicle fleet.
Yeah.
And these were, a lot of investment was put into these fleets. And what we're asking municipalities to do is to first commit to transitioning the fleet, commit to doing it by 2040, and then go in and do a comprehensive fleet assessment. Identify the vehicles that are going to be coming up to retire and eventually be turned over, and plan out accordingly.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure you're budgeting for when those vehicles are ready to be taken out of service, that they are replaced with an electric vehicle.
And you see electric vehicles of the fleet kind of creating a profit almost for the fleets, or like giving back money once they kind of have gotten the vehicles, you know, up and running and doing more? Is that true?
Yeah, so there's a few different aspects there. So electric vehicles have been proven to be, you know, 50 to 70% more efficient to operate. So that's going to save money right off the bat. You don't have the cost associated with gasoline or diesel fuel. You also don't have the same type of maintenance. Electric vehicles require much less maintenance because they don't have all those moving parts that an internal combustion engine does.
Mm-hmm.
And as such, you don't have to spend as much time working on them. So you have savings there. And then with fleets, you know, this is something that's sort of down the road, but it's something that's being looked at, is you have this concept that's known as vehicle to grid. And if you think about it, a battery, you know, these electric vehicles are powered by batteries,
mm-hmm.
and batteries are electricity storage devices. And if you have a fleet of, say, school buses, for example, that are not in use, say, over the hot summer months, and parked in a facility and plugged into the grid, they can be a mechanism that's set up where a utility, like, say, National Grid, could call upon that fleet of buses to meet a power need, as opposed to asking a dirtier fossil fuel generator to turn on to generate electricity at the peak time of electricity use during the day. So the hottest day of the year, 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon.
Air conditioning, right?
You can turn to that electricity that's stored in the buses, as opposed to bringing more traditional electricity generation online.
Wow.
And that's a potential moneymaker for those school districts then.
Yeah, and it's such a big deal, really, to transition all these fleets and everything. So it looks like we are out of time for right now, but thank you very much for, you know, talking to me about this. It's really interesting, and I'm hoping that it, you know, goes really well.
Yeah, thank you, Sophia.